Welcome to St. James Lutheran Church and School, right here in the heart of Chicago. I pray that you find hope and peace in the message of Christ and Him crucified for you in your life right now. Thank you for listening. And please, if you'd like to support the mission going on right here, please go to our webpage, stjames-lutheran.org, to donate. Thank you.
He is risen. Hallelujah. Grab a seat. Sorry to make you stand up again for the last. I saw some of you were a little like, oh, I got to stand up again. You don't have to stand, by the way. If you're tired, you can sit, even though everybody else is standing. That is fine. We're good with it. All good. Jesus rose. You can sit. That's kind of the gospel, really. Boy, I loved last Sunday, attendance and people, and the variety of people playing music, helping out, making the food downstairs was really extraordinary. Really just got me right here to see what really, just a year ago, a lot of people didn't even know one another, weren't friends, had never met before, weren't a part of anything here at St. James, and now they're here, they're meeting new people, and they're helping out. What an awesome job, everybody, last Sunday. And you know what I love especially, and we think about it as sort of like a, you know, something sort of happens afterwards, you know, is after Easter, who did a special meal after Easter? Anybody have a family meal, go out with family, do a brunch, or friends over, right? It's pretty common, right? There's something beautiful about that. That's really a part of Easter. Hearing the good news, what Christ has done for you, how He's brought you into the family of God by His death and resurrection, removed the barrier of sin and death, and brought you back to God. Not crazy to, after service, go and hang out with other people. And what I loved about this past Sunday, as a pastor, I've been far away from like my extended family for a while, so we usually get to eat with friends, other church workers, whoever's left in Chicago. And there's something beautiful about that. Why? Because that's a new family that God makes. That Jesus makes a bond, not just between you and Him, but between you and others. That the resurrection is not just for you, it doesn't restore you, but it restores community. And I know talking to the guests last Sunday, you guys had like six or seven individuals, right, from St. James that came together for Easter dinner. That's just how it's supposed to be. Not just Easter dinner, but overall. Christ's resurrection doesn't just resurrect you individually, but it creates and resurrects community, doesn't it, right? If you think about Jesus' miracles, every single one doesn't just affect the person, but they affect a bunch of people. The first miracle of Jesus, according to John, is the wedding at Cana, turns the water into wine. It's not just a blessing to the couple, but it restores the party. All the people that went there had their lives affected by the miracle that was given this one couple. You can go on and on. You can go to the widow who lost her only son in the middle of a funeral. They're carrying the body down Main Street in the town, and Jesus stops it, and He resurrects the boy. But the miracle wasn't just for him, but He actually says, let the boy go back to her mom. He restores a family. Demon possession, same thing. He heals somebody. They aren't just cured, but they are brought back into society and back into family and connection. It goes on and on. Every single miracle is not just about the individual who's affected, but also resurrects and creates community. How much more so the resurrection? Joseph Conrad, in his fantastic book, Heart of Darkness, maybe I quote it too much, says, we live as we dream. What is it? Alone. It's a real pick-me-up. Orson Welles puts this in one of his plays, this line, where we are born alone, we live alone, we die alone, and friendship and love are just momentary illusions making us think that's not so. How's that sound? Does that sound like your world alone? Can you relate to either describing life as human beings? Increasingly, this has been the philosophy, right? From Nietzsche onward, Heidegger, etc., Sartre, Camus, of we're all just very alone. No one can really understand one another. And I see that in the world. And I'll bet you can feel that sometimes, like you're alone. And it's somewhat true. Well, that's really true. Even if we're surrounded by people all around us, you can feel incredibly alone because there's something deep inside of us that's disconnected, even from ourselves, let alone one another. Something inside of us that pushes others away, that pushes God away. Even though we know it's good to be together, there's something that causes us to say something, to do something, to hurt relationships. Isn't that crazy? Even while we're saying it, we don't want to, but we're doing it. Anger. We live in a world that's just fractured. We see it because it's deep in us. Even though we long not to be alone. And we see it first in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve are, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them to be community. There's no individuality in the Garden of Eden in creation. They're to be together. Male and female, by the way, together as one, not two different parties fighting for posture or independence. And they took from God, barrier created, right? You do something wrong against someone, that hangs there. That relationship is broke. But it didn't just break their relationship with God, but they no longer really trust each other or themselves. And what do they do? What did sin do? Sin separates them from one another, and they clothed themselves and the next from God as they hid. And the whole story of the Bible, and quite frankly, your history, is ultimately a love story of not you trying to find God, but God finding you and bringing you back to him and one another. And so what happens in a garden, on a tree? God comes into our humanity, dies for our sins, and removes that debt. You welcome back to the table, welcome back to the ranch, because your debt is removed. God, your Father, forgives you. And in that garden, on that tree, Jesus restored your relationship to him, paid the price, conquered death, and brings you back, but not just your relationship to God. But what does Jesus do? After he rises, the first thing he does, he goes looking for people. And so he goes right away and he finds Mary Magdalene, right, and says her name, brings her back to him. And then he tells her, go find the disciples and tell them, and she does. And he goes looking for people. And what do we have today in today's gospel lesson? It's a beautiful story. It's not about doubt or doubting Thomas. It's about believing God. The disciples are in a room and they're scared. It's closed. It's locked. And what does Jesus do? Does he let the doors be locked? Does he knock on the door? Hey, let me in. If you let me in, I will help you. No. He barges in. Think about this. He doesn't wait for them to ask, oh, Lord, come into my heart. He just goes to where they're at. Comes into the room, and John, I love what John says, stands right in their midst. The resurrected Jesus brings resurrected community. And the first thing he says, peace be with you. When you read it, you kind of think he's going to say, where were you guys? You know, I was hanging up there and you guys just left. Or Peter, what was that? You know what I mean? And maybe they're more scared of, I wonder sometimes if they're more scared of Jesus than the others. But no, what does he say? peace be with you. Relationship restored. Sins forgiven. It's not just vain words like we say, but it's true. Jesus stands alive, resurrected. Talk about peace. Your sins are forgiven. God's not mad at you. And he's going to raise you up again. There's hope after even death. Would you like to have that kind of peace? When you look at your finances, when you look at your job, when you look at your health, you look at your old age, wouldn't you like to know for sure, God, I'm good with God. For sure, I'm going to rise again. And one more, for sure, I've got friends here in this world. So Jesus says, peace with you, but he does more than that. He then breathes on them, which is curious what somebody dead for 3 days, that breath smells like, by the way. And yet, wouldn't you love to feel the breath of your loved one that you have not felt for a long time, no matter what it smells like? Jesus breathes on them life. And what does he tell them to do? Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Go and forgive people's sins. And when you do, it's as if it's a done deal in heaven. In other words, go. Find more people and bring them into this relationship with God and you. Spread that community to people who are guilty and ashamed and scared just like you were. And don't worry about their doors or their walls. You go find them. They're not going to come here because they're scared like you were. And they're afraid like you were. And what do? Thomas wasn't there. And so, what do? This story shouldn't be called Doubting Thomas. It's not about him doubting. It's about friends finding a friend and sharing the good news. They went and told Thomas. Now Thomas, yeah, he said, if I see it, if I experience it, it didn't happen, right? And so a week later, there's Jesus, and what does Jesus say after Thomas sees him and says, my Lord, my God, which means Thomas is saying, that's God. Jesus says, blessed are those who believe who have not seen. And he's not saying good luck to you. He's actually promising that there will be people who will hear about this and will believe. That's you. When Jesus rose again, he not only resurrected and gave us hope of resurrection, but he resurrected community, brought you together to care for one another. You're a part of something. You're a part of a family. And so often, I think we are so entrenched in thinking in, I think, America, that we are just separate, wandering individuals, and no one can relate to us. We've really caused our own loneliness, I think, with what we teach, preach, show on TV. Don't you think? You're so separate. You're so unique. No one can understand. Causes people to really feel alone, I think. When in fact, real life is not done alone, but together. That's how you were made. Every molecule in you wants to be with someone else. And Christ conquering sin and death has not only made you and given you hope in your future, but has brought you here together. It's a miracle as much as the resurrection that we're all hanging out here. Don't you love what Luke says here in Acts? He says, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection. Great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. Perfect harmony and unity. That's the fruit of the resurrection. Now you take a hard look at St. James? Do we look like that? Do you feel this? I think we can be hard on ourselves and say, I think there are needy people. Are we really giving our best? Do we act as if none of this is our own? Why were they so empowered to just not think of anything as their own? So empowered to take a risk of just serving and being a part of community and giving themselves to one another. Probably because Christ is risen. Christ is risen. I know it's the second Sunday after Easter here. He's still risen, we should say. No, to know that death is not the end, you're going to be just fine, that you're forgiven, really empowers you to not care about saving things or keeping things. You could take risks like, God's got me. I could forgive people, and you know what? Maybe it won't work out. Just shove it right back in my face. It's all good. God's got me. I could take care of one another. I can give my most to someone. If he's going to promise, Jesus is risen and I'm going to rise too, he's certainly going to take care of me tomorrow, my daily needs. They were empowered. But when we look at our own community, I think we can be hard on ourselves. But you know, also I want you to tell you this. This is amazing community. From our last building on Christ to Alive in Christ to the millions of volunteers I saw last Sunday and even today. People coming together. Most of you didn't know each other at all. And you found a friend here. How many times I've had, especially this last year, individuals come who are lonely and feel just disconnected in the world and have found a friend here. I want you to actually see how God has done amazing things here and brought you together. How you have actually given your best to serve one another and to make sure that this city knows we leave nobody alone, that God loves all, and that we keep on going through walls and pronouncing peace to scared people. It's pretty amazing. Could we do better? Sure. Are there people that I think are in our midst who are lonely or who are in need that we're not seeing? Let's open our eyes and see them. Let's make sure no one is by themselves as St. James. But when we feel like we're not doing the best of being the body of Christ and being one and being community, the answer is not me telling you to try harder. The answer is that Jesus is here in our midst with forgiveness and grace. He's right here in the baptism of Korah. This happened. She went from one point in life to another. She is saved. She is washed of her sins. Jesus is absolutely present, equally to when he walked on the earth. No doubt, according to Jesus. As the Father sent me, I am sending you, Jesus says. So when we speak Jesus' words, when we do Jesus things, it is absolutely no different than if Christ himself was baptizing Korah. Or when you take communion, it's no different than if Jesus himself was giving this to you. You want to be more united, St. James? Be in church. This is the center of this community, church and school. This is the engine of our unity. It's the empowering of our grace and our mercy and our love for one another as we come together and he in our midst forgives us and tells us again, Christ is risen. You're going to rise too. It's going to be okay. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's practice one more time. He is risen. Go tell somebody else. Let's rise.